Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, I really felt it in my spirit over the last couple weeks that we're going to start shaking it up a little bit. So we're going to drink out of a fire hose this morning. And we're going to start a little different than we have in the past. We're going to do a little confession of faith or a declaration of faith. And there's a difference, and I'll explain afterwards. But if we could put that slide up, I want to make sure we read this together as the body of Christ. Whether it's a declaration or a confession, we're going to start with I am all together. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Come on. I am unconditionally loved by God and this house. I am in my year of acceleration, accelerated progress, accelerated faith. This year, all I do is win. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Come on. Some of you believe it. And here's the deal. Those that believe it, that's called a confession of our faith. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. But the other one's called the declaration of faith.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of things that I didn't believe about myself that the Word says about myself that I started writing down on cards and I started declaring a thing until it became a confession. So no matter where you're at today, it just matters that you're saying a thing. If you don't believe it yet, you're declaring a thing to rewire your brain to believe a thing. But once you believe a thing and that penny drops into your soul and in your spirit, now it's a confession of your faith. So today, we're going to shift some things to get a confession of our faith to level up where we're at. So that's just a warm-up. You guys ready with me this morning? Come on, it's going to get good. You guys could take a seat. The title of my message is Lip Service. You can stay up here just another second. I want to make sure they get the why, because like maybe I was a little too heavy the first service. How good was that tithe message? Seriously, there is such an anointing on that thing. You know, we've heard so many testimonies of breakthrough in this house. If you're new here and you're like, what was that about? It's hard not to be passionate when you see people get breakthrough. If you have a chance to hang out with Patrick Nolan and his beautiful bride and hear some of the God stories, you'll know that wasn't just a thing. That was a... You know, today, the why behind my message, it's, you know, this is a little bit... It's going to be intense. But you know what? I woke up intense, so I said, let's do this thing. And I'm telling you, because how many know the world needs a little bit of shaking? So I have this little bit of righteous anger. It's a little bit of fire in me, and I had a word prepared. I knew I was preaching. I had a word prepared, and then yesterday, I was so tired of another dude taking his life. I said, that's it. It's gloves off. We're going for it. And so this is just a devil beatdown today, and we're going to liberate the church because we're going to get set free. How many know that we can take ground when we get set free ourselves? And what happens is, you know, I was upset earlier in the year when Avicii, I like a little house music, put a little worship and house on at the same time, I feel at home. There's going to be a room in heaven. But Avicii took his life. Anthony Bourdain took his life. I like food. Kate Spade took her life. My wife likes purses. Yeah, it's funny, not funny. Because these are creatives. God gives a gift, and they got taken out. Demi Lovato just almost died. Talent. Heath Ledger, Batman. Come on, my kid loves Batman, took his life. I love, come on, who in the 90s? I love the Cranberries, Let It Linger. She died in a bathtub because she drank too much and she was on anxiety medication and she drowned in her own bathtub. And then finally, just a couple weeks ago, and yesterday was his service, was a pastor that took his own life. So I am emotional about it. There's a 29-year-old widow with three little boys because of a guy that got lied to by the devil that couldn't bear it anymore and took his life. I'm not here to judge him. I just want to fight. How do you raise up a church that makes a difference? You get real, because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the lip service I hear from even my brothers and sisters, that so-called Christians, that we can walk around pretending everything's okay, giving more of this and less truth. And that's how we end up in a world, whether we're in the world or of the world, what is the difference between what you and I are walking in? Because I tell you, there is a secret weapon, and it's Jesus, and we have it. It's true, you can clap. 200 people a day overdose. So today, if you want to know why we're bringing a little bit more fire, it's because the line's got to start with the church. It's got to start with you and me, and it's got to start right now. And the minute that we get a little fired up on the inside, we will see a change in ourselves. We'll see a change in our family. We'll see a change in the tribe. We'll see a change in Carlsbad. We'll see a change in a city, and you'll see a change in a state, and that's how you win the world. Come on, but we got to start right here today. So it is a little intense, but I won't apologize. So with that, thank you. Felt right. I just wanted to get through that because it was so intense and the anointing helped. Come on. So listen, I'm going to read out of Romans. Just, I want to give context to what we're talking about this morning. So I'm going to give you some context so we can reestablish a belief system that I think screwed up. How do I know it's screwed up? I was raised in the church. So for 30 years, I was beating myself up, not understanding who I am in Christ. So I want to help with a revelation that coming to this house, it was just me and the Word and the Holy Spirit and a revelation confirmed by Pastor Juergen when I brought it up to him. So it's amazing. So let me read out of Romans 3:21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and to all who believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom set forth as a atonement, meaning incurring divine favor by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What does that all mean? Christ died on the cross and gave us righteousness. We are righteous. Isn't that a crazy thing to say? Because I didn't hear that when I was growing up. Right. I heard I was a sinner saved by grace. How many heard that? Come on. Anybody besides me? Yeah. I've been rebuked on that, and I'll share with you why. Let me give you the definition of righteous: acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, morally right, in right standing with God. He made us righteous. Come on, it's only some of you are yes to me. Let me give it another way. That's okay. I see it. I see the saucers in the eyes. So what's it mean? Let me give it to you this way. If you own the telephone company $100 for your cell phone, I want to give it perspective. Being righteous with the telephone company means that the bill's been paid on time or early, maybe even prepaid. You are in right standing with the telephone company. Do you get that? Okay. So let me tell you, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus already paid the price for every mistake, every failure, every dumb thing planned, or non-plan that you and I have done and will do already. We are righteous. That should get a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what happened when I said I'm a sinner saved by grace? Because that's, man, I felt more guilty every time I left church growing up. Okay? And it wasn't always my mom, but, you know, my mom was a travel agent for guilt trips. And it was just how she was raised. So we got guilt after year, generation after generation. I was just feeling worse every Sunday. But it's amazing because you cannot approach God that way. You were a sinner, but grace has made you righteous with God. Do you see the difference? You were, but you're not anymore if Jesus is in your life. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are now righteous. We all fall short. You are righteous. And if we keep tripping ourselves up and beating ourselves down, devil wins every time. And he plays on that flip thing right there that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Quit confessing I am a sinner. Your confession of faith or your declaration. If you have been raised that way, you're going to have to declare that I am righteous. I am righteous. God has made me righteous. And it's going to be uncomfortable, but you got to reprogram your brain. I had to do it. I know. I was on this side of that bad theology. Now I'm on this side, and it's to set you up to win in life. Come on. A lot of us are trying to do works to become righteous. You got to hear me here. We are righteous, and we can do righteous work. It's just a flip. Because I am, I can do. But I cannot do to become. That will sink for some of you. All right, now we're going to get to the scripture that I'm going to preach from. I just had to set it up. Are we ready? Okay. Come on, I'm not sure if you're ready, but we're going to hope. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall seven times. How many?
Seven.
And rise again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. In the NIV, it says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Here's the deal. If you know Jesus, you will rise again.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know if you did. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Come on, that's me.
That's me.
Some of you. Some of you. We're definitely not a black church. Come on. Somebody, you may fall seven times, but you will rise again. Come on. I'm going to pound it home today. Come on, somebody say it. I will rise again. Thank you. I'm feeling better already. Because when you fail, when you fall, as a Christian, you will get up. You know how I know it? You know how I know it? It's a promise in his word. It says right here, for a righteous man, that's you, may fall seven times. And we're going to get it. Come on. And thank you. There is a promise in his word that says we will rise again. We got to know that because there's some people that I just named that didn't know that. And it's amazing because I know even Christians because a pastor just took his life. So therefore, we are not immune to it because we got some stinking thinking and the devil's working overtime to take you out of what you're called and your destiny and your future because we lost this. We don't know. We may be down right now, but we don't know. We're called to rise again. And this is where connect groups are important. Fellowship is important. Discipleship is important. Accountability is important. This is so we can be our brother's keeper. Because too many of us are living that lip service life, and it's done today.
Come on, Pastor.
The word makes us a promise. When you love Jesus, come on. We're going to make it another day. Even though you don't think you can breathe, you're going to make it. Even though you don't see a way out, it says you will rise again. So there is in the word telling you that you and I are going to fall. We are going to screw up. We are going to mess up. It's the next thing that we got to get better at. Come on. So let us pray because this is what we're bringing this. Lord, I just ask right now that you bring this word to life in our life. God, I ask, Lord, that you change our belief system regarding failure. God, I expose every lie from the enemy. God, you will show us a way to get out of failure. God, you will show us a way to get back in the game. God, you will show us a way to move forward. God, Lord, you will stir and break off every inner vow that's been made, everything that's been spoken that's not in agreement with your word. God, I ask, Lord, that you reveal truth today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for what has already been done. Lord, that we reprogram to stand in our righteousness so we can do what we've been called to do. And you know what we do. So God, give us the strength, the wisdom, the discernment to work this thing out in the name of Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Come on. So here we go. It's 3 points to my message. We got to point one last service. I'm going fast. Here we go. So studies show this is that many people get stuck in the process of failure. Okay? What my job today is to get you unstuck. And the more that you lean in today, the more that you're going to hear this, because we're going to cut some things off today. See, what these studies show is that because people fail, they start to identify with being a failure. Yeah. So we're going to expose that lie today, because they're saying that they've seen the statistics go up with self-identity crises since they've implemented this whole participation trophy thing. Because kids now don't know what it feels like to fail.
Yeah.
Everybody's a winner. Let's feel good about it. Let's coddle. And because of that, they're now seeing, because this wasn't always it, this is like the new thing. But they're now seeing these kids that are raising up, getting out in the real world, and they're noticing certain behaviors. When they do take a loss, when they do take a failure, it identifies them, and they start coping mechanisms, either drinking drugs or abuse or addiction, or something in the self. A self-worth issue is now created, because their whole life, it's always been about making sure everything's okay. Feelings don't get hurt. So now they're trying to work these new studies out. But what happens is, we as a church need to start teaching about breaking those inner vows that maybe they're saying about themselves. See, because of a loss doesn't make you a loser. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. You're not a mistake, even though you maybe made some. You're not a mess, even though maybe you got yourself into a few. But it's amazing how the devil starts to tweak and get us feeling bad about ourselves, self-worth problems, trying to get us numb. And here's how he does it. See, failure is defined as the state or condition of not meeting an objective. Proverbs told us, 24:16, we have already been warned, we're going to what? We're going to fall. But guess what else we're going to do? We're going to rise again. So it already tells us, so why are we all shocked? Because if you know Jesus, guess what Jesus is? He's our failure insurance. You didn't hear me. He's our fallen insurance policy. He already said you're going to fall, but you got insurance, because if you believe in me, you're going to rise again. There's an insurance that we have. Maybe you forgot that you own it. So let's put it in there. I love it, because so many times people experience failure, but that doesn't make you one.
Right.
We got to define this thing. Most people don't want to be honest about their failure because they've lost the context of it, or they never had it. What I want to tell you is that the devil uses pride to anesthetize us. If an anesthesiologist comes in and numbs us so we can go through a surgery, a dentist will put a numbing agent in our mouth so we don't feel it. That's what the devil does. He uses pride to get us numb. Self-awareness is to own a failure. So what happens is, we've lost self-awareness because of pride, which makes us numb. So the greatest thing I could tell you, having people in your life that can point something out, not to judge you, but to set you free, is why we have discipleship, is why we have connect groups, is why we do next steps, is why we do everything. It's why we have men's prayer at 5:30. That's why we have women's prayer on Thursday at 7. That's why we have these things, because we got to help people become self-aware. It's not a judgment thing. It's to get you set free. For a righteous man. Who are you?
Righteous.
We're going to keep saying it all day long, so don't think, you know. Otherwise, here's what happens. We don't believe it. We start giving lip service. Yeah, my life's good. I'm all good. No, I'm good. and your finances are upside down. Your marriage is a mess. The Christianese thing's got to go. How are we going to reach a world when you can't even be real with your brothers and sisters? That's what I'm talking about today. Okay, 3 points on how to get unstuck. Are you ready? Number one, failure finds a way. You ready? As a Christian, we must move forward. We must and we will rise again. It's the automatic next step. But the enemy lies to us, and here's the two things that happen. When we fail, we recognize it. But most of the time, we're in an unaware state. So if you don't have people in your world, or you're not putting yourself in the right situations, you may be unaware that you're already stuck in failure. There's no accountability and no discipleship. I love it. I'll ask them, who's discipling you? They're like, oh, so-and-so. Oh, good. Let me call him up. I'll ask him. No, you know what? I don't know if they know that, but they've really been speaking in my life. Really been. Uh-huh. I could tell by your reaction. Second thing where we say, well, I failed. It's my fault. I guess I'll just lay in the bed that I made. Right. You're stuck in failure. But I say you will arise, and you got to start talking to yourself a little bit differently. Okay? You got to get a little Proverbs, which is wisdom. See, what happens is failure is loss. I can speak to men normally because we don't like to look and talk about failure, but failure is loss, and loss causes grief. But we're about to flip grief right up on its head. Are you ready for this? There's five stages. Here's what happens. Most men won't admit to this, but when we fail, part of our spirit gets stuck in grief, and we just don't know how to get undone. Women, they talk about things a whole lot more, okay? They can get unstuck quicker. But men, they just keep putting the head down. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to talk about it. Not saying this is all men, but this is what we normally see. But there's five stages of grief we must recognize so we can shove it to the devil. If you don't recognize these stages, the devil can use it to keep winning, keep getting you down, and it's like he's got his head or his foot on your neck. So therefore, we must expose these lies so we can get up and rise again because it's a promise. So here we go. Number one, denial. So you say things like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this is where we're at. I can't believe this is our relationship. I can't believe we lost the money. I can't believe. Number one is denial. The A part of that creates withdrawal from church, people, prayer, your spouse. You withdraw. It's the number one sign of denial. You say things like, I just need some time. If you hear that, spouse, don't be okay with it. See, many areas of your life could be fruitful, but the enemy wants to make sure you're stuck in at least one of them. You're not called to be stuck in anything. You're called to rise up. You will fall, but you will get up. You just got to know this. Number two is anger. It's one letter from danger. Yeah, you're going to get it. You get angry at yourself. You get angry at others. You get frustrated with your spouse. You start to get a little attitude. You get mad at God. And then the fruit of that is you start to act irrational. We all do it. What's an example? Well, I had a phone situation. And I was frustrated in a moment. Where I became anger. Angrier.
I became anger. Yes, I did.
I roared like a lion. No. I grabbed that thing. I was so frustrated because I couldn't get my emails. The thing kept freezing. My Pandora wouldn't pray. I couldn't even put on worship music. I was getting so frustrated that I just, in a moment, slammed it down and broke the screen. The whole screen now is now shattered. In a moment of irrational behavior, it cost me. Matter of fact, it cost me 2 days of not having a phone, which I was ticked off in a moment of not being able to use my phone. But because I was frustrated with different areas of my life, that frustration, boom, and I shattered a phone, took me 2 days to fix. Why do I tell you that? Because I delayed my next because of my anger in the now. There's sometimes you just get frustrated or angry. Right then, you lose it in a moment of irrational behavior. But then it's going to cost you because there's been a setback. And then the devil's going to use it. But you got to know, I will rise up. I will overcome it. We just got to give you the tools to do it. Number three is you start bargaining. These are the five stages of grief. When you're sad about something, when there's been loss about something, you start bargaining. Number three, shoulda, woulda, coulda. If you do this, Lord, I promise I'll be in church every week. Just get me out of this situation and I promise. I promise. Lord, I won't ever drink again if you just make me feel better. Lord, I promise I won't sleep with anybody again if she's not pregnant. Oh, did I go there? Oh, yeah. Some of you said that. Please make sure I don't get that thing. I promise I'll not mess up. Okay. Oh, I guess I used to be the only one before I was saved. Okay. Oh. Okay, we're just talking about real things because the devil's a liar. And if we don't just expose some of the lies and pretend that we're all perfect, the devil keeps winning. Number four, depression. This is serious. This is when people go numb on you. We give up. As a brother, as a sister, when this happens to one of our fellow friends, we got to knock them out of it. Not knock them out, but we must show up at their door. We must put them in the car. We must drive them. We must help them get over the hurdle because they are so stuck, they're now numb. Amen. And we got to be there for them. That's what church is. We got to unstuck our brother or our sister. We got to do what it takes. We got to fight for them. Because they're numb, we got to knock someone out of numbness. How do you do it? We speak life. We don't judge. We declare a thing. See, Jesus died for every single one of us, not just the people in this church. Not because you're sitting in this seat, in this pew, in this thing, not just because you worship. He died for every one of us. So my question is, I know some of us have gay friends. Why aren't they here? Speak life and declare a thing. Why aren't we inviting them? Why aren't they sitting next to us? How you know they'll be sweating? How about love them up? Introduce them some friends with unconditional love. How are you going to get them through? They're numb. You knock them out of numbness. You love them out of numbness. We got to do it. Number five is acceptance. What are you accepting? Are you failing or a failure? It's two different things. You are not a failure. You might be failing in a thing, but that isn't who you are. Even if you were dealt a bad hand, you're not a failure. Even if you have to start at the bottom, you will rise to the top. Amen. Even if you lost your job, your marriage, your kids, my God says, I am the head, not the tail. Yes. Come on, you don't believe me? Deuteronomy 28:13, and the Lord will make you the head. Yes. See, you don't make you the head. It says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, you will be the head. See, some of us just forgot that you are commanding. The Lord has already commanded you to be the head, not the tail, but you're worried that you got to start at the bottom. But God's already prophesied you are the head of that thing. We got to start declaring it. See, the way you receive a word determines how that word works for you. Oh, that's going to mess up someone's theology. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. This is amazing. The word, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It's amazing how the devil doesn't want you to be in the word. You get discernment, you get power, you'll start to declare a thing over your life that then becomes a confession of faith for your life as you start walking it out. It's so important. Here's the deal. If you receive it with joy and gladness this morning, then something's going to get imparted on the inside of you. Yes. How do I know? Let's read Ecclesiastes. Are you ready? I need to show you a thing because it's going to mess you up. What does the Bible say about grief? I didn't know until I did a study. Ecclesiastes. It's written for the church. So it says right here in 10:10, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom, everybody say wisdom,
wisdom
brings success. In the Greek, it actually means gives the advantage. So it means Wisdom gives you the advantage. Come on. Now, but you ready? You ready to see something right here? It's going to mess you up. I promise. It messed me up for 3 days. Ecclesiastes 1:18. For in much wisdom, what does wisdom mean?
Advantage.
Take advantage. It means success. So for in much wisdom, success, is much. Oh, that's weird. And he who increases knowledge or success increases. Huh, that's even weirder. And this is the book written to Christians. Huh. So therefore, it must mean that every mistake has given me wisdom. Let's work this out. I am stronger, I am better for the grief that I've been through. You're not hearing me. People ask, how are you so wise? How are you so strong? How do you do all the stuff that you do? You know what did it to me? Grief did it to me. Grief has given me grace. I mean, it's a hard thing to wrap our head around, but you got to understand, grief is teaching us something. Grief is unlocking something. Wisdom is success. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. So it doesn't matter what you've walked through. It's giving you wisdom for today. I made a decision that failure will not define me, and I choose not to get stuck in hurt or grief, because grief has given me the wisdom to handle my today. The devil's brilliant because he wants you to figure out that you've lost, that you've missed out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start talking like, oh, the church hurt me. I left the church because I can't trust the church because, you know what's amazing? The devil twists so many things. It's amazing because you were hurt at work, but you didn't quit. You were in a car accident, but you still drive. You got hurt in the pool, but you still swim. And then so why when you get hurt at church, you leave? Because the devil's messing with you. And here's the truth. The church can't hurt you. People hurt you. You know why I get calls for business, for prayer, for wisdom? Because of the loss, because of the hurt, because of the grief has given me grace, which is wisdom, that I have decided to stay in the game. So therefore, what the enemy will use against me, Romans 8:28, for me. Come on. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Oh, shoot. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always, somebody say always.
Always.
Did he say sometimes?
No.
No. Always. Leads us where? Hello, please get this. This is a promise. It's a declaration. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses or manifests, is what that means, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. How do you get fragrance? You gotta mash a flower. You gotta get pressed on to get a fragrance out. So what has hurt me is actually what is helping people see God better. There's a fragrance coming off my life right now because of the hurts that I've been through. And that fragrance, people can see and know God in a different light than they've ever seen before. But see, some of you may not feel that way because the devil's been messing with you. Even when you feel at the bottom, God says, always. As a Christian, even when we fail, we win. I'm losing my house. Good. Go get another one. I'm just saying. We got to have an attitude of. See, Michaela, and you could ask her offline. This isn't because I'm telling you this. I always have said since we've been married, babe, we're going to be successful. But if I lose it all, as long as I have you and my three kids and my dog and my Vitamix, I'm good. I'm not losing my Vitamix. Because I know if I've done it once, I will rise again, and I'm going to do it again. Come on, how many with me this morning? You got to believe that in your spirit. See, what you got to understand is, when I said yes to the Golcott and took on this North Campus, the next week, I lost 300,000. I had a friend steal, not an acquaintance, Someone I grew up with that I trusted stole $300K from me. I had fear. I could lose it all. I started to hear the internal dialogue. I started hearing the devil. But guess what? I had that other thing that says, even though a righteous man, and I am righteous, and I declared that thing, I will rise again. And I had to listen to myself. I had to hear my internal dialogue. And I heard God said, you can trust me. See, fear could have ruled over me, and I could have feared my way into losing it all. You'll get me in a second. Instead, I prayed fear away and faith arose. See, I was afraid of the dark until someone left me in it. I was afraid of heights until I conquered it. I was afraid of debt until I was in it. See, I can be afraid of losing everything, but how many know God's going to take our fear away? And you could lose everything, but you're the one that worked your way into it because God had to get rid of fear of you losing everything. And how many know people have lost everything, but they're still all right? I think they feared their way right into it. Listen, Jesus doesn't force winning on us. Winning is a mindset. Do you know that salvation is a free gift and people don't choose to receive it? Same with winning. You can get saved, you're going to heaven, it's all good. But you know, we will rise again. We're supposed to be righteous. We're supposed to be winning. But some Christians are choosing not to win. Drives me crazy. You know, it's kind of like this checkbook. I'm going to write a 100G check right now. Come on, Lanning. This would be Mike saying, hey, Lanning, I'm going to give you this check. Will you take it? And then I said, and then I'm going to say, hey, follow me. Get in your car and follow me to the bank. Let's cash it. Right. Here's what happens. This is the stuff I hear. Oh, sorry, man, I got to go to work.
Yeah,
I don't have a car. My girlfriend won't let me. dude, I don't deserve that. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. See, Jesus is trying to lead you somewhere, but you're not receiving it. It's a free gift. I just want to write a check and lead him to the bank, and some people don't want to cash that check. That's what Jesus has done for us. See, Jesus doesn't make us. Get this, 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. It doesn't say it makes us. Jesus doesn't make it. He compels us. He wants you to win. He wants to compel you to win. He wants to speak life into you. He wants to prophesy. How many know that God sent Moses to set some people free, but they couldn't get free for like another generation because they couldn't get out of their own stinking thinking? They were stuck for 40 years. Oh, man. Whew. All right. I'm just going to give you the points. I can't develop them, but I at least got to give them to you. Okay. Number two, failure says stay in the game. In life, taking an L so you actually value the W. Do you get what that says? See, sometimes we need to lose so we put value on winning. If you just win all the time, you have no value for it. So why are we taking it so personal when we take the L? Alexander Hamilton, born out of an affair, orphaned, yet became a founding father. Oprah, born to a teenage mother, beat and abused at 9, left home when she was 13, pregnant at 14, and lost her baby. She's now worth $2.8 billion. Thomas Edison, quoted, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Dr. Seuss, 27 publishers. Come on, Kelly Hillard, taking care of our publishing. 27 publishers refused him. But 600 million copies later in 20 different languages. Come on. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Come on, we got to say, Moses had a stutter, but Jesus said, or God said, lead my people, and he did. David had an affair. Peter denied Jesus. Even Jesus looked like he failed for 3 days. Come on. He did. Do you know that his disciples, his followers, see, we know the story on the other side because we get to keep reading. But you know his disciples had spent 3 years? They thought Jesus failed for 3 days. Could you imagine your whole life was caught up into something for 3 years and in 3 days it was gone and now you're having an internal dialogue and Peter bailed, like folded like a deck chair and ran? But I love it because Jesus was not in the place of his failure. He was not in that tomb. So why are we going back to our dead places? I'm just saying. Come on. There's a lot of dead tombs, and we don't need to be in them. Come on. Somebody say, today is my resurrection day. You got to believe it. You got to keep prophesying. I will rise again. I will rise again. Number three, failure. Failure focuses you. See, when I lost that 300 G's, let me tell you, I got focused. I made more money in 1 year because I was in more debt. I was upside down. I went and I owned it. I talked to my wife. I talked to somebody that supported me, and I went and told them, hey, I'm gonna get you paid back. I owned it. I then conquered fear. And then I put my head down and I went to work. I stood on faith and I went to work. And I'll tell you, I generated an extra 100K in 1 year. I never thought possible. I told my wife, let's button the hatches. Let's think it's that. I made 100K. It seemed impossible to pay off $150,000 of debt in 18 months. Because I got focused. Failure could have crushed me, but God showed me how failure will increase my focus. When you're on the fight of your life, you ask anybody in the military, it's amazing how focused they get. See, the devil tries to distract you. You're in failure, stuff's coming at you. He wants to distract you, beat you, kick you, keep you down, have other things. You get worried with every other thing, except grab your spouse, take a knee, and get focused. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Doesn't matter what you're going to. You rein it in, you focus, you commit your thoughts to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. He will show you the way out. He will show you the way to rise again. He will wake you up. He will get you up. He will get you around the right people, the right things, the right ways. He will get you out of that dark place where it seems dead. You will rise again. Come on. Noise will distract us. What breaks your focus? TV, social media, food, drama. What is it? Texting while driving, ask my wife, leads to 1.6 million accidents a year. I just had to say it because this morning I had a buster because I just read the stat. Make your prayer, Lord, every move I make, every step I take, I commit my works to you. Come on. Most people they fail and then they make a decision to pray about it. God, get me out of it. But why aren't we praying before that business deal, before that next decision? I can't tell you how many times my wife has slapped me and told me to pray with her to get in agreement with a thing, and I've been blessed every time I've done that. I can't tell you the times I haven't done it, what happens. All right, I'll save that point for another one. Just the 2 points on that are commit your plans to the Lord and seek excellent counsel. Don't go to the people who tell you what you want to hear about that relationship. Listen to the people that God's put in your life. You might not like it, but how many know there's always that person that's just in a relational nightmare all the time? But it's funny, they never come to you for advice. Be led into victory. Be intentional when you come to church. This is just something I want to teach you. It changed my life. Remember going 30 years to church, I was mostly feeling guilty. I wanted to bail out of there. When I came to this house, man, I was in tears. I was crying. Pastor Jurgen was telling me that was the Holy Spirit healing stuff up. But it's amazing. I started coming to church with intention. See, there is a miracle in the Bible with a woman with the issue of blood. She fought through a crowd. She was intentional. And when she grabbed that hem of Jesus, what happened? She stole anointing. She stole power because she went with intention. Everybody was touching them, but she got a miracle because of the intention. When you come to church, let me tell you, the devil's going to try to get you off focus. Don't get that word today. Don't lean in. Don't get that point today. Check your social media. He wants you to lose focus. But when I'm telling you come here, she pulled something out of Jesus. You pull something out of Jesus. You pull something out of this word today. You lean in. You get intentional about it. When you come, come intentional. Be focused. I'm telling you, somebody needs to say it. I am not a failure. Come on. I'm back in the game. I am focused. He loves you. It's a decision to get up. It's a decision to get back in the game. It's a decision to be focused. God can only lead you to where you need to be. The rest is up to you. God's already forgiven you. You don't need to beat yourself up. Another day, another way. That's what I say. I wake up. I used to say every day I'm hustling, but that song turned wrong. So every day, another way. Jesus is leading us. It's time to get up. Let's read it again. Proverbs 24:16. Right here. For a righteous man may fall seven times. Come on, what's the next one? Right here. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Come on, somebody should be celebrating because it's a promise.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.